All right.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Jane.
And I'm Allison.
And how are you, Allison?
Pretty good. We had a night last night where we went out. We saw a comedian.
Yeah, he was funny.
He was funny.
A little bro-y,
but...
Largely pretty funny.
And it was pretty good, and I am sleepy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, it takes me out of it. I'm old. I'm getting old, you know? Like, you go do... We got home at a more than reasonable time.
Yeah, we got home at, like, what, 9:30?
If that. Yeah. 9:30 is probably the latest we rolled up here. And then we stayed up, you know, for another hour-ish or so.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is. Like, I'm just getting old. I'm like, a full day of work and then events?
Ugh. Too much.
I got about 8 hours of life in me.
Well, it's a Saturday, so you'll get to...
Rest. That's my goal.
But yeah, so obviously we're doing... The menu. This came out in 2022, technically, but then it started streaming
in 2023.
Which I was going to go see it in the theaters, but then I didn't.
Life happens, you know?
So, finally we watched it on HBO Max. And this was definitely one of my most anticipated movies of 2022.
Yes, and was one of... Probably the better ones that came out.
Yeah.
I'm excited we're finally getting back into good movies coming out.
Right.
Because we're no longer just releasing movies that got told no before COVID.
Yes, absolutely.
Because for a while it was like, okay, we don't have time to make any movies. We only have all these movies that the network turned down.
So we're just going to make all those.
So we're going to go ahead and just release them. And you're like, well, but they're bad? And they're like, yeah, but you're desperate.
It's hot and it's ready.
It's hot and it's ready.
So I'm excited about this. I just saw Megan, which was pretty fun.
I definitely got to see that.
I don't think we'll probably do it on the podcast because I don't think there's enough to talk about. But it's pretty silly. It's very silly and entertaining. And there are musical numbers in it, which I was not expecting. And I really loved.
Fun. I need it. That movie looks bizarre.
Oh, it's like the weirdest fucking thing ever. But it's very like... I like original concepts, obviously.
Yeah.
And it is fairly original, and the acting's not bad, and the visual effects are pretty good, and there's some good kills.
Yes, that's nice. And yeah. I saw Skinamarink.
Yeah, and I haven't seen that.
Which, when that does stream, we probably will talk about.
We probably will talk about it.
Unfortunately, Jane's probably going to have a hard time tracking it down in the theaters unless you're willing to go pretty far away.
Well, I think Bookhouse and Joplin.
Oh, Bookhouse is going
to
show it?
So I might be able to catch it there in time. But we'll see. We'll probably do it, though, once I am able to stream it.
Yes. So if you get a chance to see that, maybe give it a watch.
Yeah, well, from your description, it seems pretty weird.
Yeah, weird is how I would describe it. Good or bad, I'm not to say, perhaps, as much as it's an experience.
Okay.
And if you are, let me say this, if you're a huge horror lover, you better go see that movie now. If you are a moderate fan of horror, you probably can skip this one. That's exactly how I would describe it. It's interesting. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. I can't wait till we cover that. But for now, we're on The Menu.
The Menu.
Which many people probably have heard of or seen the trailer of. It was pretty highly publicized, I feel like.
It was very well marketed, I would say. Because I was very aware of like its existence from very early on.
Yes.
So I think they did a pretty good job of marketing it. And really, they didn't give anything away in the trailer.
No,
I remember.
Good trailer.
Yeah, so I saw like a trailer for a movie when I went to see Megan. And like it seemed like they just gave everything away in the trailer. I was like... I feel like I know the entire story now.
That's what you do when you don't have any interesting clips that aren't... Like, when you see a trailer that you're like, okay, that's the thing.
Right, that's just the movie.
You just know that the actual movie really doesn't have anything going for it, so they had to put all the important moments in the trailer because they're the only important moments in the film.
There's a kitty cat.
Yeah, I have a little kitten, and she is walking on my mechanical keyboard right now.
So you probably hear that.
So you can probably hear it going like, click, click.
She's being bad. So this movie is a dark comedy horror film directed by Mark Mylod and written by Seth Rice and Will Tracy, based on the original story created by Tracy and produced by Adam McKay, Betsy Koch, and Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. That guy comes right out of the left field.
Yeah. Well, he and Adam McKay work a lot together because Adam McKay did like Talladega Nights and like those, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and Don't Look Up.
That's right.
Yeah. So it features an ensemble cast, starring Ralph Fiennes or Voldemort.
It's interesting. He's really lucky out of the Harry Potter franchise because most of them, they couldn't break away.
Right.
Like, that's all anyone could ever see them as. But for him, nobody really knew what he looked like.
Right. They were just like, oh, he has a nose?
Then that's all you really need to know.
Yeah.
Like, and he's a totally new person.
So Ralph Fiennes and Hong Chau, playing his assistant, Anya Taylor-Joy, Nicholas Holt, and then some other people. And Judith Light is also in there.
Yes, I did notice that. A lot of people in here that, even if you don't know their names, you've probably seen them in stuff.
Yes. So it did pretty well. The budget was only $30 million, and it made $78.1 million. So it
pretty
made,
good.
Made back what it spent, so that's good. It made its world premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival, and it's received mostly positive reviews.
Nice. So. I would agree. Mostly positive.
I think it has like a 3.5 on Rotten Tomatoes, so pretty good. I do think that some people are not getting it.
Yeah. Which is weird, because I feel like it's pretty...
It's so heavy-handed.
Pretty heavy-handed.
Like, very heavy-handed.
Heavy-handed from the trailer.
Which is fine. Like, I think it's charming.
Well, it's like satire. It's like a right. satirical... It's like a horror comedy.
Right. Which I think you want them to be a little bit heavy-handed.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm getting into the plot, and as always, this is from Wikipedia. Foodie Tyler Ledford and his date Margot Mills traveled by boat to Hawthorne, an exclusive restaurant owned and operated by celebrity chef Julian Slowick, located on a private island. The other guests attending the dinner are Lillian Bloom, a food critic, her editor Ted, wealthy regulars Richard and Anne Liebrandt, washed-up movie star George and his personal assistant Felicity, business partners Soren, Dave, and Bryce, and Slowick's alcoholic mother.
I forgot that she was there.
Yeah. Just at a table by herself, and then she's, like, passed out by the end. The group is given a tour of the island by the restaurant's maitre d'hotel, Elsa, who is...
Basically, front of house.
Who's Hong Chau. Yeah, front of house is what we'll probably end up calling her.
I'm not going to remember that name. I have clearly never been to a restaurant where they have one of those.
Well, her name's Elsa, a maitre d'hotel, I don't know. Elsa notes that Margot was not Tyler's designated guest for the evening. Dinner begins, and Chef Slowick introduces a series of courses, delivering increasingly unsettling monologues about each dish. For the third course, uncomfortable truths about each guest ranging from affairs to embezzlement are exposed via laser-printed images on tortillas. And I will say, going into this, it's pretty much immediately established that, like, Tyler is very taking this very seriously, and he's so obnoxious, and then Margot is less impressed. And also, it costs, like, what?
$1,200 a head.
$1,200 a head, and she's like, that's fucking insane.
She's like, that's too much money.
Yeah. Also, she somehow knows Mr. Liebrandt.
Mm-hmm.
That's established that she somehow knows him and doesn't want him to see her. They all have, like, they don't go into what's printed on the tortillas, so let's get into it. So basically, printed on Tyler's is him taking a photo of the course, previous courses, because you're not allowed to do that. Which is so interesting whenever you think of, like...
The other people's tortillas?
Yeah, and also what he knows.
Yeah.
What he knows what's going to happen.
It's like, why?
Why are you taking a picture? Right.
Because he can't fucking help himself. He's insane. Well, then, there's all these, there's basically like each table is kind of its own little problem group.
Right. And then the Liebrandts, the picture on the tortilla is the husband with a blonde woman.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, Margot is redheaded, so we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know if this is her in a wig or if her hair is different or if it's another woman altogether.
Right.
It's not, I mean, it's a laser printed tortilla, people. It's not that easy to see.
And then the finance dude bros with Jaime from Broad City, they have been stealing money from their company, who also is owned by the owner of the restaurant, correct?
Yeah, the investor, the main investor of the restaurant, basically.
Right.
And their tortillas are like basically printed out versions of their wire transfers.
Right. And then what was the actor's?
The actor's tortilla. Was it just a review or something
that? Well, okay. So the food critics was a bunch of the reviews that she had written for restaurants that had closed down.
Right.
Was it, did it have something to do with paging Dr. Sunshine?
I don't know. It might have. Maybe they, did they show us his?
I don't know. I don't remember. Huh.
Or was it like text messages he sent about the girl he was with or something like
Maybe.
That?
Maybe. I don't remember.
I can't remember.
Anyway, so that's what's on. Their sins are printed on these tortillas. And also, it's made with chicken thigh. And Slowick tells this story about how whenever he was growing up, his dad was really drunk and was beating his mom. And then he stabbed him in the thigh with a pair of kitchen scissors. And these chicken thighs are served with, like, kitchen scissors inside in them, along with these sinful tortillas.
Yes.
For the fourth course, called the mess, which is not included in this, but it's called the mess, a sous chef kills himself in front of the guests, causing a panic among the guests except for Tyler. And Slowick, in, like, explaining this, is like, this guy is good, but he'll never be great, right?
Yeah, and they say stuff about, like, he's, like, desperate to be me, but he's never gonna be me.
Right. It's sad. Yeah. And so he kills himself in front of the guests, causing a panic, but Tyler is unfazed. The staff make it clear no one may leave by cutting off one of Richard's fingers.
Yeah, that was fucked up. He tried to leave, and they were like, okay.
Which finger? Hawthorne's angel investor, which is the guy that the dude bros work for, to whom Slowick had to relinquish ownership of the restaurant to stay afloat during COVID-19, is then drowned. Yeah, so they, like, dress him up as, like, an angel and then drown him, in front of everyone. It's brutal. For the fifth course, which begins with Slowick allowing himself to be stabbed by a female employee who he sexually harassed, the female guests dine while the male guests are given the chance to escape the island. But Slowick's staff catch all of the men and present them with another dish. So we were talking about Man's Folly, which is what this course is called earlier. And about how it's obviously made by this female sous chef who was harassed by Slowick. And I think it's interesting how she stabs him in the thigh, which is, like, the same place that he stabbed his dad.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, like, telling him, like, you're no better.
You're no better than your dad. You're exactly the same. Right. Like, you were abused and now you are an abuser.
Yeah. And also, it's really interesting that, like, the women come in and they're eating, like, this dish that she made, and then, like, the food critic is like, this is delicious, and then she says, there was a time that would have meant a lot to me, and then she starts crying.
Yeah, and, like, you know that she's been, like, sexually harassed by her boss, and like, not everyone knows they're gonna die tonight, including the staff is gonna die.
Right.
And she's so clearly unhappy, and none of them
comfort her
at all. They all are just like, good food. This is pretty good.
Yeah.
And she also, like, she also reveals that she is the one who came up with the idea for the menu that they are having tonight.
Right.
Which ultimately ends in everyone's death. That was her idea.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's like, but nobody gives her the credit. Even right. After this scene, when she says, like, yeah, I'm the one who actually suggested that we all do this.
Yeah.
Nobody gives her the credit.
No, it's still Slowick.
It's still Slowick who's, like, the mastermind. You're like, he's not the mastermind. Right. She is.
Yeah. It's so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just interesting how, like, these characters, they're still not seeing her as a person. Like, if they were, they would comfort her. But instead, they're just like, she's a chef. Like, this is what she can do for me.
There's just a lot of that theme running through the movie of not seeing the humanity in the people who are serving you, even when they're shouting in your face that the reason this is happening to you is because you treat them like shit.
Right.
They still are like, I wonder why this is happening to me.
And we were talking earlier about how the editor is the last man to be caught. And he is kind of like seemingly the most innocent man of the bunch.
Yeah, he doesn't, like, all the rest of them have severe things that they've done, like, the Liebrandt. Liebrandt man, he's cheating on his wife.
Right.
Then you've got the guys who are all stealing from the company. Then you, of course, got Tyler. Mm-hmm. I have to sneeze.
Who's a piece of shit. The anticipation.
Not gonna happen.
She got stage fright.
I did.
I got nervous.
I didn't want to sneeze. Okay. But the editor himself just kind of seems to be along for the ride.
Right. He's just there because his, like, boss is there pretty much.
Yeah.
And then he gets, like, this egg. He gets, like, an egg dessert or something.
Yeah.
Sloak explains each guest was invited because they either contributed to him losing his passion for his craft or because they make a living off exploiting the work of artisans and workers like him and his team. He announces that everyone present will be dead by the end of the night. Since Margot's presence was unplanned, Sloak privately gives her the choice of dying either with the staff or the guests, but he refuses to let her leave.
She's like, but what if I didn't? And he's like, no, you gotta pick. Which is so interesting because, like, it doesn't matter. Like, she even says that. She's like, what does it matter? Like, I'm going to die either way.
Right.
And then he's like, it does matter. But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Because in the end.
Yeah.
Like, there's not, like, a better death for anyone.
True. Margot is unmasked as an escort who has served Richard Liebrandt and whose real name is Aaron. And I didn't catch this the first time I watched it, but then I watched it again for the podcast and took notes. And, so, he didn't just cheat on his wife. He did cheat on his wife with Margot, but...
But that's, like, the least of the problems.
That's, like, the least of the problems. Earlier in the movie, like, the wife is like, oh, she looks so much like our daughter. And he's like, no, she looks nothing like her. And then it's revealed, Margot reveals that during her encounter with Mr. Liebrandt, that he wanted her to call him a good man and then pretend to be his daughter while he had sex with her. So, not good.
Not good.
And she knows that, and she tells Sloak about that. Sloak reveals that Tyler was invited to the dinner months in advance and informed the guests would be killed. Despite this, Tyler was so zealous in his desire to participate in Sloak's craft that he kept the secret and hired Margot to replace his ex-girlfriend for the evening, because Hawthorne did not offer seatings for parties of one. Oof. I love the scene whenever he, like, has Tyler admit that, and then, like, Margot tries to attack him.
As you would.
Yeah, she's like, I'll kill you!
As you would.
Yeah.
Because you've damned us all!
Yeah.
And, like, something else that doesn't really get pointed out is, like, not only did Tyler doom Margot.
Right. Everyone.
He could have saved every single person there by turning in. It was through email.
Yeah.
He could have gone to someone and been like, yo, look at this. And they all could have been saved.
But no.
But he cares so much less about people than he does about good food. You're like, are you fucking insane, man?
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
His performance is so good.
Yeah, Nicholas Holt's really good.
He's really talented.
I feel that man's going to have a... Some's coming for him.
He's a good actor.
He's going to have his...
Remember Warm Bodies?
I love that movie.
He's so cute.
I feel like he's going to have a big moment soon.
Yeah. Like an Oscar-worthy, yeah, like, nomination. I think so, too. Sloak humiliates Tyler by forcing him to cook and insulting his food, causing Tyler to hang himself, and Margot discovers the body.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... That scene, I was just like, my mouth was, like, on the floor.
It was very funny. And he clearly also knows fucking nothing about cooking.
He can't even cut a fucking shallot.
Well, and also, like, the lamb.
Oh, my God.
He puts that shit on there for two seconds and then takes it off and is like, I think it's done.
Yeah.
And you're like, you think it's done?
What the fuck?
But it just shows how, like, out of touch he is. Like, right. He's obsessed with this thing, but he knows nothing about
it. He's delusional.
He knows everything about it and nothing about it.
He cannot apply any of that knowledge.
No.
Yeah. Slowik asks Margot to collect a barrel needed for dessert. En route, Margot sneaks into Slowik's house only to be attacked by a jealous Elsa. Margot kills Elsa in self-defense by stabbing her in the neck. After seeing a framed Employee of the Month award showing Slowik as a young and happy cook at a greasy spoon diner flipping burgers, Margot finds a radio, calls for help, and returns to the restaurant with the barrel.
The fight between her and Elsa is really interesting because at this point, right, we know Slowik's basically been saying, like, you're more like one of us, you're a service worker,
you're a shit shoveler.
You need to come and, like, join in with us and, like, be a part of our group and help out. And so he gives her the barrel task as sort of like the go help us task.
Right.
And Elsa is very, like, suspicious of Margot and also jealous of her.
Right. She's like, you're not going to replace me.
She ends up following her into Slowik's house and attacking her because she's not supposed to be in there. And also she's jealous. And when she dies, like, and Slowik makes a big show of being like, Elsa forgot the barrel. Right. So you need to go get the barrel. And then as she's, like, dying, her, like, last words are, like, I didn't forget the barrel. He didn't tell me about it.
Such cult leader tactics.
Yeah, it's this, like...
Turning people, like against each
turning
other.
Turning people against each other and the gaslighting, like, making you feel like you fucked up and you need to do something to get back in his graces. And any slip-up that you have is an opportunity for someone else to move up.
Right.
But... You didn't slip up. He can create the slip-ups.
Right.
And you can't say, I didn't forget the barrel, you bitch, because that would be a slip-up.
Yeah. It's established this is a cult because they all live on the island.
And, yeah, they live, like, in a tiny little bit. Also, they live in, like, one room with cots while he has this mansion. Yes. It's beautiful, too. He makes so much money. They make hardly anything.
Right. So in a way, he's also exploiting them.
Well, and I think that's something that's really interesting that comes up. Like, the movie doesn't really explore, but it kind of encourages the viewer to explore, which is Slowik is not really portrayed as much of a villain.
Right.
Because he's always talking about how, you know, you treat us like such shit, blah, blah, blah. But he is the exploiter.
Yeah.
Because he has... used his talent to rise above the worker exploitation. Perhaps he doesn't find joy in it, but he's not shoveling shit.
Right. He says that he is.
But he's not. He lives in a mansion on this private island. He makes probably 10 times what any of his other chefs make, even though they're preparing the dishes, they're coming up with the meals, and apparently coming up with the menu.
Yeah, apparently.
He's apparently not even doing that because the girl says that she's the one who came up with that idea. She made one of the dishes, Jeremy made one of the dishes, so already out of, like, the 8-course meal, 2 of them were not made by him.
Right.
None of them are prepared by him.
No, they're all prepared by the entire, like...
staff.
Yeah, staff.
And it's just so interesting. And then he treats them all like shit.
Yes. So interesting.
It's like to, and obviously he's the one leading the charge here. So it's like, Slowik is definitely and obviously the true villain of this story.
But he's in such a sympathetic light.
Yeah, he's not really even presented that way. Like, the people, the guests are presented more in that way, mainly just because they're kind of assholes.
Right. They're really more annoying than
anything else. I mean, like, honestly, other than... None of their crimes are really that egregious aside from...
Lee Brandt.
And even then, like, he's the nicest person there. Right. That's the nicest table of the night is that table.
Yeah.
And even then, like, he clearly has some fucked up fantasies. But I guess one could argue that he carried them out in the most ethical way that he possibly could.
I think that argument could be made. Yeah.
He hired a girl who does that for a living and
enacted the super sick fetish, but like.
And enacted a super sick fetish, but she even kind of said, like, he was nice. Right. Like, it wasn't. I mean, it was. I thought it was fucked up, but I didn't think, like, he was scary.
Right.
And. So that's interesting, too, where it's, like, the nicest couple's the one that has, like, the sickest shit going on.
Right.
but the more like of an asshole they are, it's almost like the pettier their crime is.
Right. I mean, the actor, right? He's so annoying, but like
the actor's like the most annoying guy there.
But his crime is making a bad movie, acting in a bad movie.
Acting in a bad movie that the chef didn't like.
And also that, I mean, I don't know if this is going to talk about that, but like the reason that he is so mad at the actor is because he made this movie called Paging Dr. Sunshine, and Slowick had his only day off like in months and went to see the movie and it was terrible.
Yeah, he didn't like it.
He didn't like it. So that is like his great crime, is ruining the only time that he has off.
And it's like, I didn't ruin it, you stupid bitch.
I didn't direct the movie.
You did. You went and saw it. It's so, like, it's so interesting because it seems like Slowick has this, like, righteous cause, right? Mm-hmm. But when you really, like, peel back the surface layer of his cause, you realize that, like, it's not a righteous cause at all.
Right.
You're punishing, like, a sweet old lady whose husband is, like, kind of fucked up, that they have more money than they know what to do with. Mm-hmm. So they come here a lot, and you don't, and they're just too dumb to appreciate your food the way you want them to.
Yeah.
And so that's their crime against you, is that they're too dumb to appreciate the food.
Right. He doesn't even know about, like, the sick fetish shit before.
No, he just knows that he was having an affair.
Right.
But that's not why he's there. He's there because they've been a lot, and he doesn't feel like they're enjoying it enough.
Yeah.
And then you've got the food critic, who's like, crime is basically like never being satisfied.
And shutting down all of these restaurants because she can never be satisfied.
Right. And it's like, okay, like that's her job.
Yeah.
Like her job is to be a food snob. And I'm sorry that it like hurt your feelings, but don't invite her back.
Right.
And then then you move up on the asshole peg a little bit. Nicholas Holt's character, like, he's a wholly separate issue.
He is insufferable.
He's a wholly separate issue, almost. He's the most asshole person.
Oh, he's terrible.
And he's the only one I truly think deserves to die.
Right.
But he takes care of that himself, so he also is the only one who's not murdered.
Right. Interesting.
But, like, you have the asshole finance guys, and they are big, ginormous assholes, and they are actually doing something wrong.
Right.
But then again, it doesn't affect Slowick, and it's very lightly materially wrong.
It's
like,
just white-collar crime.
It's white-collar crime, which, like, happens a lot.
That's the most common type of crime.
Yeah, and, like, they're in on it with their boss. Like, they don't, like, why does Slowick care?
Right.
He just doesn't like them because
they're
entitled, and he doesn't like entitled people. And you're like, hey, buddy, when you have a restaurant that is $1,200 a head and fucking takes 12 people a night, entitlement's gonna come with that. If you want to work at the Greasy Spoon Cafe, go work there. But you don't, because the Greasy Spoon Cafe doesn't pay good.
It's true. And he wants his mansion.
And he wants his mansion. And then, of course, the actor's only crime is being annoying. That's essentially his only crime.
Yes. And then his assistant's crime is being wealthy.
Yeah, his assistant's crime is being there. Like, and that's the other thing, too, is, like, some of these people are just there.
Right. Like, his mom is just there.
Yeah, and he barely touches on his mom. I mean, he says, like, she's an alcoholic and a piece of shit. But you're like, what?
Yeah. It's wild. So a Coast Guard officer arrives from his boat, but after the guests are convinced they have been saved, he reveals himself to be a line cook in disguise and returns to the kitchen. Cult leadership. As dessert is being prepared, Margot mocks Slowick's dishes and loveless cooking and complains that she is still hungry. When Slowick asks what she would like to eat, Margot requests a cheeseburger and fries. Moved by her humble request, Slowick does so, finding joy in creating the dish. After she requests to take it to go, he and the staff allow her to leave.
It's the only time he cooks.
Yes.
In the movie.
Yes, he's just overseeing cooking otherwise. And it's interesting that she, like, requests the most accessible food in America, pretty much.
Yeah.
And
the food that he found his love of cooking making.
Yes. So they let her leave. Margot takes the Coast Guard boat docked nearby and escapes the island. The dessert is an elevated s'mores dish. The staff cover the floor with crushed graham crackers and adorn the guests with stoles made of marshmallows and hats made of chocolate. This is hilarious.
Yes.
Slowick then sets the restaurant ablaze, detonating the barrel and killing the guests, staff, and himself. As Margot watches from the boat, she unpacks her cheeseburger, takes a bite, and uses a copy of the menu to wipe her mouth.
I think it's very interesting that that Slowick clearly has this, like, thing that makes him love cooking, which is he loves to cook.
Right.
He loves to make people happy and show and have, you know, people enjoy his food.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's, like, completely lost that along the way. And he blames everybody else.
But himself.
But himself. When you're, like...
Didn't you kind of get yourself into the situation?
You're the one who decided to make this weird-ass food with right. that costs so much to make.
Yeah.
You're the one who decided to limit your restaurant to 12 seats a night. You're the one who decided to hire a whole team and not and only oversee cooking and not cook any of it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're the one who decided to strive for perfection here. Plenty of chefs open restaurants that aren't this.
Right.
And... And it's interesting because you as the audience almost, like, it's kind of multi-blame, like, the audience is a bit at fault, like, they do take the joy out of what he does, like, clearly the critic, the entitled assholes, mm-hmm. the person who, like, knows way too much about food, all of that, the people who are just there to be seen there for the name, they don't really give a shit about anything, like, the actor, like... I guess that does kind of, that's a part of food media and art media in general and kind of does ruin it. But at the same time, like, that's just so ignoring the people like Margot.
Right.
And it's just, like, not acknowledging that those people exist, but that you've made yourself utterly inaccessible to them. And it's the same thing, in my opinion, like, if you kind of look at this, obviously, this movie is about food and food culture.
Right.
But it's also about
just art in
general. And it's like, you know, you get annoyed because all these assholes that like this movie and it's like totally inaccessible movie. And you're like, well, then make a movie that's accessible.
Right.
You're the creator.
You're making it.
You're mad at the people who enjoy your stuff because you make it for them.
Yeah.
Make it for someone else then. Make Talladega Nights.
So you know
what I'm saying? Like,
make it for Middle America.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, oh, if you want it to be accessible, make it accessible. It's not that fucking hard. You want people to come to the Broadway? Why are your tickets $300?
Yeah.
Like.
And they're complaining about, like, the thing that is making them money.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Theater's dying. And you're like, well, yeah.
It's fucking $300 to go.
It's $300 to go, and people already have to get to New York. People already have to get there, and when they are there, then you're charging them out the ass for shitty stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes stuff that they can't enjoy. You want people to like your shit? Do what Hamilton did and fucking record it and put it out for free. I mean, on Disney Plus, which is not free, but... Is it an accessible service to many people?
Yes. More accessible than going to see the show.
Certainly more accessible than going to see the show. Like, these are things that you can do to make your art accessible. But if by doing that, you would taint the art. Because if it was for everyone, then you can't.
It means nothing.
Exactly. Then it's like, what's the difference between you and McDonald's?
Right. Because everyone likes it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So interesting.
It's like an ego thing.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if I'm just McDonald's, then what's the point? And you're like, well, is McDonald's bad? You know how many burgers McDonald's sells?
Yeah.
More than you.
Truth. It's really interesting. This movie, I think, is just about, like, there's so many layers and it's about so many different things, like about art culture, about the exploitation of service workers. Just really... really cool stuff. And we were talking about how, like, it kind of, we're not fine dining foodie experts, but we have both seen the menu and the bear, so you could say we're experts.
I know what Noma is, so I mean, I'm probably ahead of some.
Yeah, so this is, like, pretty clearly based on Noma.
Pretty clearly based on Noma.
Yeah, with the weird ass stuff and the and foam.
Noma is closing.
Yeah, it is. It's becoming. It's gonna become like a test kitchen or some shit.
Yep.
Wild.
Good. The menu was the final nail in the coffin for yes. Noma. It's about time. Yeah, and I think the bear is interesting that the bear, I don't know why, we need a lot of cooking media this year, I guess. I don't know. We're all like chefs. Those are the people. Those are the people of the year. but the bear is interesting because it's about the utterly opposite thing. It's about a guy who was
the Slowik type.
This Slowik type who was working at the best kitchen in the world and was one of the best chefs in the world. Who became so overwhelmed by the stuff that he didn't like about it that he went back to Greasy Spoon diner food.
Right. Exactly.
And found, you know, the line cooks who didn't go to culinary school and taught them what making food can be.
Yes.
And it's like, it's so interesting that these two things came out
in 2022,
and that they're like nearly foils of each other.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's very interesting. I love The Bear.
Oh, it's a great show. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's short and excellent.
Yeah, it's very short and intense and great. We got into it because it's directed and written by the guy who made Bo Burnham's specials, his earlier ones. So that's cool.
And the bear guy's hot.
Oh, ugly hot.
He's hot.
Oof. Yeah.
He looks like a line cook, but a line cook that you'd want to sleep with.
Yes, that BDE.
Yeah, oh yeah. but I don't know. I think it's so interesting that this movie really doesn't ever, like, outright condemn Slowik, despite the fact that he is the ultimate problem for every single thing.
Absolutely.
You can even tell, I think it's very easy to tell, like, specifically, we don't have a lot of interactions with any of his staff. We only have interactions with three of them.
Yep.
Jeremy, the girl, and Elsa.
Yes.
And every single one of them seems so damaged by him in a separate way.
So run down.
And not by the customers.
Right.
By him.
Yes.
And yet they are all so deep in it. He's convinced them all that they're so, that he's just like them.
Yeah.
To the point that they can't, like, see the forest for the trees.
Right.
And they're upset and worn out and they've been broken down. I mean, it's a cult. Like,
it is obvious.
That's another thing too, is it's so obviously a cult movie.
Yeah.
But that has been, I feel like, has been getting lost in the conversation.
Being glossed over about, like, how religion and how, like, this idea of the cult plays into it.
I really feel like it's getting, like, I feel like reviews have really glossed over the cult aspect of this movie, which I really think, well, maybe ends up not being as explicit as in a lot of cult movies, because
well, it's established so early that it's a cult, and only if you know the signs of a cult.
And it takes, you know, and it takes a, it just spends a lot of time making you not like the guests.
Right.
And making you like the staff.
Yes.
That I think that you kind of forget that the staff is the enemy here a little bit. But then when you look at it a step further, it's like the staff's not the enemy. Slowik is the enemy.
Slowik is the enemy. Slowik is the one who's living in the mansion.
Slowik is exploiting everyone.
He is, like, not letting them sleep. Probably not really letting them eat.
No.
Which is, like, classic cult behavior.
They live in little barracks.
Yeah.
They
have no privacy.
They have no privacy. They're completely isolated from the outside world. Mm-hmm. They're on this little island. They never leave.
Yeah.
And he, you can tell that he talks. I mean, the very first sign of this is, like, when he's talking to Jeremy in the mess, and he's telling Jeremy about, you know, how he'll never accomplish what he wants to accomplish, and he's never gonna be like him, and that he hates him secretly, like, all this stuff. To hear that from the person that you idolize the most in the world,
right?
It's like, you can tell that this is not the first time Jeremy has heard this.
Yes, exactly.
And then for what happens to the girl who he sexually assaults. Like, he makes her have a hostile work environment when she doesn't give in to what he wants. He steals her ideas.
Yeah, doesn't even give her credit.
He doesn't give her credit for anything. He treats her like shit. And then with Elsa, she clearly has
the most devoted.
She has clearly worked so hard and devoted so much to this man. And then he just tosses her aside the minute
Margot
comes in.
Yeah.
Because she because she just like catches his eye for whatever reason.
Right. So weird. Also, the sommelier is one of the Sonic guys.
Is one of the Sonic guys?
The one of those guys in Sonic, like the Sonic commercials.
Oh.
With the drinks.
Yo.
The sommelier is the brown haired Sonic guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know much about the sommelier, to be honest. He just kind of is there.
I just noticed that he was the Sonic guy.
He's just like, wine.
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 Yeah.
It's very ha ha ha. Wine.
Wine.
But I just find that so interesting that it's like, okay, we don't obviously get to see every relationship he has with all his staff, but we can go ahead and assume that those three are pretty indicative, yes, of the kind of boss that he is.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't let them into his house.
No.
He holds a large air of mystery about him. Mm-hmm. He does not hang out with them. He makes it very clear that he's not on their level.
I am above you.
But then he, like, blames their... how bad they're treated, how inhumane they're treated on the guests.
Even though it's his fault.
When it's like your, whether or not it's the guest's fault, yeah, should you treat, the guests clearly do treat them like shit.
Right.
So does he.
Yeah.
He's doing the exact same thing. And I just find it so interesting. And I find it interesting that in the end, when the s'mores thing happens, it's not like he lets his staff out in an easier way.
Right.
He doesn't like, allow all of the staff to shoot themselves before...
No, they have to burn to death.
They all burn to death, right? With the guests.
Yeah.
And when he tells Margo, like, you know, you can die with them or die with us, and she says, what's the difference? I'm dead either way. And he says, well, our death is a better death. Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
It's the same
death. It's the same death, and it's all perpetuated by you.
Yeah.
Mm. And I just think it's interesting that a lot of reviews have been glossing over kind of... They've been focusing a lot on the guests, mm-hmm, and how the guests represent what's wrong with the world.
Right.
But not a lot about how Slowik is, in my opinion, the ultimate representation of what's wrong with everything.
Right.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, you're mad at people for taking what you're offering them.
Right.
You could just not offer it.
Yeah, you could just not have this weird island restaurant.
Yeah, if you don't like the people that are eating your food, then offer your food to different people. But
he doesn't want to make it accessible.
But he can't do that because that would somehow take away his, like, status.
Right.
Which is ultimately, he, like, hates himself for it, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But he's not like he's changing it. And I think that that's interesting because I think ultimately Slowik's the worst person in the movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
But don't see it that way.
He is so sympathetically painted.
Yeah, and his conversations with Margot are very good.
I mean, they're both such good actors, and he is, like, doing such a good job of seeming like he's being vulnerable.
Yeah, and the fact that he lets her go, and Margot's clearly the most sympathetic character in the movie.
Right.
You're like, yeah, like, good stuff. But then it's like every single thing that you learn about him that's not him talking... Mm-hmm. Is he's a piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit.
But that's a cult leader, baby.
Yeah.
He has to be charming and charismatic and seem sympathetic, or why would all these people be killing themselves for him?
Absolutely.
And I think that's something that nobody's talking about.
Yeah, how it's like, it's all wrapped up in being a cult.
It's all wrapped up in being a cult. And the only reason, and if you are not blaming Slowik, it's because you're just as susceptible to his cult as anyone else who's there is.
Yes, absolutely.
Margot doesn't take his shit. Like, this is the thing, is he doesn't seduce Margot.
Yeah.
She just figures out how to outsmart him.
Right.
She doesn't feel bad for him.
She manipulates
it's him. Yeah, she doesn't feel bad for him.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that Margot needs to be an escort because she needs to have those skills,
right,
that he has in order to outplay him, which an escort does. But again, it's not something they don't like. That's not the focus of the movie, is look at these two charismatic people trying to out charisma each, right, other. But that's really like the underlying current.
Definitely.
Of the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Hmm. And like Tyler is such a foil to them, like just so insufferable and so like anti charisma.
Yeah, he's the antithesis of charisma.
Yeah.
He's horrible.
Terrible.
Well, and Tyler is an interesting kind of specimen because he's like a cult member but he's not wanted.
Right, he's too into it.
Yeah.
I was the only guy to get kicked out of Scientology for being too into it.
That's Tyler. And you're like... when the cult leader is like, whoa, not this guy.
Not this guy. This guy is obsessed with me. And it is freaking me out.
It's freaking me out. It's like, that's bad.
That's bad. You are way too into it, buddy.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, is, you know, for Slowik, it's like all these people who are in the cult here, they've all been worked on for years.
Right, they have been
and
deprived.
Broken down.
Deprived of sleep, deprived of all these things.
Broken down of every bit of their humanity to where Slowik can feel like he accomplished something. But he didn't do anything for Tyler.
No, Tyler's just like a simp.
Tyler's just a simp for no reason. And it disgusts him a little bit.
Yeah.
Because at least his cult members have a purpose.
Right. Well, whenever Tyler's like, Chef, is this bergamot in this tea? And he, like, rolls his eyes at him.
He's like, yes.
So funny. Yeah. This movie is so interesting. And I agree that I think that people are missing some things in a lot of their reviews. Because the cult aspect is not...
I'm just surprised that more people haven't talked about... Because to me, it seems like the whole plot, the whole underlying theme is, look at what Slowik is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But... people are focusing on the surface themes and not looking at what all of that in the end comes back to, which is Slowik.
Right.
And, like, when people have these, like, it doesn't make sense, like, why? This seems like such a small thing that this person would be killed for. And you're like, yeah, it is a small thing, but there's a reason.
Yeah, he is the god of this environment.
Yeah, and he decides. And
he demands satisfaction.
And I think the ultimate proof of that is definitely the actor. Because the actor quite legitimately has done nothing but be in a movie that Slowik didn't like.
Right.
And
act in a movie. Not even direct it, not write it.
Be in a movie that Slowik didn't like. And that was enough for Slowik to say, like, that's it.
He deserves to
die. And that just gets totally glossed past. But to me, that's like, that's the moment when you should go, like,
Slowik's a bad guy.
Slowik's a bad guy. Like, okay, all the rest of these people are assholes. Sure.
The actor's annoying, but he doesn't seem to be, like, horrifically bad.
He's insecure. He even says it.
Yeah. He's like, I said that because I'm a fucking name-dropping, I'm insecure. Yeah.
And he knows it, and it's sad.
You feel bad for him whenever he's like, we're not actually friends.
His assistant is a sad person. She's trying to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's a piece of shit.
And that's, like, something that I just think that, like, nobody's focusing on how much... this movie is not only a condemnation of the people who engage with that culture, but the people who create the culture.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, we can all complain about, like, Quentin Tarantino film bros.
Right.
But who's making the films for those bros?
Quentin Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino. And, like, if Quentin Tarantino didn't like their money and didn't like the culture that surrounds their shit, they could fix it. Everyone hates Rick and Morty bros, but has Rick and Morty at all changed anything about what they do? No.
No.
Because at the end of the day, they know that they wouldn't be where they are without them.
Exactly.
And you can, like, hate that about yourself a little bit.
I hate that I'm pandering to these annoying people, but I still want their
money. At the end of the day, like, you're the person with the ultimate authority to decide who you're pandering to. And so, like, get off your high horse a little bit. Like, don't pretend. Like, at the end of the day, then don't do it. Then don't make it.
Yeah.
Oh, but you wouldn't do that. Although Rick and Morty, who knows how long that thing's going to last now that we know what we know about, you know, about Justin Roiland?
Oh, is he like a pedo?
Whoa. Okay, so he got arrested for felony assault.
Oh, shit.
For assaulting a woman. But, yeah, after he got arrested, a bunch of stuff started coming out of him being, like, 16-year-old's DMs.
Oof.
And being like, you're such, like, prison bait. Like, oh, my God. Like, I don't know if I'd be able to, like, handle myself if
I
was there.
Oh, no. I heard that he was a freak, like, a creep, but dude, I hadn't heard.
I was reading him, and I was like, bleh. And it was stuff like, just get older already. Like, yeah, like.
So gross.
Or, like, he asked this one girl who was, like, 16, who's, like, a Rick and Morty fan. Like, he messaged her.
Oh, no.
And was, like, they were just, like, talking. And then he said something about, like, are you going to get, like, Morty on your... pardon my French. On your tit, like, sucking your nipple. Because if not you, then, like, who? And I was like, what the fuck, dude? When Dan Harmon's looking like the good guy.
Right, I know. I was about to say that when Dan Harmon is the upstanding member of the
When
duo.
You're looking at like, wow, Dan Harmon's looking really good here. That's bad.
That's not good. That's he should bad. Not be the good guy in the situation.
It makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Woof. But...
wow, that's crazy.
I know. I don't think I don't think Justin Roiland's going to continue with Rick and Morty. I feel like they're going to kick him out.
Yeah.
I think Rick and Morty will continue, but I think once he's gone...
well, he's the voice for everyone.
I think once he's gone, it's going to go downhill.
Right.
Because you're not going to be able to replace that. It's like Community with like when Dan Harmon was gone. It's like, look...
I know he's an asshole.
They're not good people, but they have a specific sense of humor that is hard to recreate.
Yeah. Dan Harmon also didn't DM a 16-year-old, though.
No, not that we know of.
Not that we know of.
He just has...
is a coke addict and harassed Meg Gantz.
Yeah, not cool.
Not cool. I love Meg. Leave Meg alone!
Leave Meg alone.
I love her.
She's our fave.
The gang. Time's up for the gang.
Time's up.
What would you give this movie?
I think this is a really good movie. I think it's fun. It's not too horror-y.
It's a horror comedy, and it's a satire, so...
Much more comedy.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of thriller aspects, and most of the horror, I would say, is gore.
Yeah.
I would give it, like, a 9 out of 10.
I think so, too. I'd also give it a 9 out of 10.
It's a fun watch.
Yeah, I would say if you like horror movies, if you like dark horror movies, or dark comedies...
It's also one of the better films that's come out...
in 2022.
In 2022.
The acting is awesome. Like, Nicholas Holt, particularly, I think...
he kills it.
He kills it as, like, just insufferable.
Yeah.
I was watching an interview with Anya Taylor-Joy and Nicholas Holt, and she was talking about how, like, they're actually obviously eating the food, and how, like, it starts really delicious at the beginning of the day, but then, like, as the day goes on, you're still doing takes and takes of it. Like, it starts to get gross.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, she was like, Nick, like, just munched. Like, every take was just, like, so enthusiastic.
As you gotta.
Yeah, he really nailed it. I thought he did a great job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Give it a watch. Hopefully you've already seen it. But if you didn't, kind of ruined for you now. But, you know, watch it. It's still fun.
Yes. Do you have a review for me?
Yeah.
Oh, you told me that this is a... it's a poem?
It appears to be. Yeah. I found a few reviews. There are a lot that are just like, this movie's try hard, it's boring, whatever. But this one is kind of fun because I do think it is a poem. This is a 1 out of 10. One of the worst movies ever made. Someone is joking with me. Someone is joking with me. Absolute garbage of a movie. 7.3 rating he gave it as possible. I have not seen more trash and stupidity than the movie. I don't know, but there is nothing positive in this production.
Mm.
Bypass this garbage. High ratings are probably family spams. Worst movie ever made. Someone is joking with me. Someone is joking with me. Absolute garbage of a movie. 7.3 rating. He gave it as possible.
Am I being hexed right now?
I have not seen more trash and stupidity than the movie. I don't know, but there is nothing positive in this production. Bypass this garbage. High ratings are probably family spams. Worst movie ever made. Someone is joking with me. Someone is joking with me. Absolute garbage of a movie. 7.3 rating he gave it as possible. I have not seen more trash and stupidity than this movie. I don't know, but there is nothing positive in this production. Bypass this garbage. High ratings are probably family spams. Worst movie ever made. Worst movie ever made. Worst movie ever made. Worst movie ever made.
That was beautiful. I wish they would like do a slam poetry reading of that.
Yeah. That's
amazing.
I know. I was like, wow. They took, you know, what they were angry about and they turned it into art.
They absolutely did.
And I got to give it to them for that. I just saw that and I was like, well, it's not a particularly in-depth review, but I feel like I've got to read it.
Absolutely. I'm glad you did.
It begs to be read. It begs to be performed.
That's so funny.
All right.
Amazing. Thank you guys for listening, and hopefully we will be back soon with a new episode. Hopefully Skinamarink will come out soon and I can watch that.
Yeah. That would be an interesting movie to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.